still feeling the pain.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radkeep. It's been almost a year since Lehman Brothers went bust. The anniversary is about 2 weeks away. And it's not only Americans who remember. This morning, Lehman's European subsidiary is demanding the parent company pay its continental creditors $100 billion. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
When Lehman Brothers filed for bankruptcy protection in the U.S. a year ago, the bank's overseas empire fell apart. All Lehman's foreign subsidiaries were cut adrift. They're now separate bankrupt entities, and they've had to join the line along with other outside creditors demanding money back from the parent company. Liquidators for the British arm of Lehman Brothers think European creditors are owed more than $100 billion. Sorting this one out won't be easy, says Justin Urquhart-Stewart of Seven Investment.
In this very murky world of corporate finance, particularly as you look through the dust of this collapsed entity, it's going to be very difficult to unpick who actually has the rightful claims to these monies.
He says former British employees of Lehman Brothers certainly feel they have a rightful claim. Just before the bank crashed, the parent company moved $8 billion out of London to the US, leaving British staff unpaid. All claims against Lehman have to be filed within 3 weeks. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
As for European stocks, they're mostly lower by just under 1%. Asian markets were down today, too. Japanese stocks lost 0.4% after the ruling party was elected out of power over the weekend. Wall Street lost ground on Friday, but for the week, the Dow was up 0.4% to 9,544. Hundreds of scientists, policymakers, and corporate leaders are meeting this week in Geneva. They are trying to connect the dots between climate predictions and what businesses can do about them. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
The UN's World Meteorological Organization says when it comes to making investment decisions, the past is no longer a reliable indicator of the future. That means everyone from government leaders to business executives will rely more heavily on climate model predictions. Director Michel Giraud says agriculture is a prime example.
The crops which will thrive in the new climate may not be the same as in the old climate. So we can give better advice based on the prediction.
Giraud says climate change will affect every sector of the global economy, from forestry and fisheries to tourism, healthcare, and transportation. And that means climate models will be an essential tool for the decision makers in those sectors. The challenge, Giraud says, is ensuring that poor countries will get the same access to the latest climate projections as rich countries will. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
A survey of economists out this morning shows them in support of a consumer financial protection agency. The survey is done by the National Association for Business Economics. Association President Chris Varvaras says the White House proposal for a sort of financial version of the consumer protection agency, he says it's a good idea.
It will basically improve the information exchange between the borrower and the lender. It will require the lenders to take more time to explain things to consumers, require clear documentation on different types of loan documents.
And now for the downside, most of the economists who took the survey also said more documentation will mean more work for the banks, and that'll make it harder for a new borrower to get a loan.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com.
Scientists recommend you use no more than half a teaspoon of salt per day. And this does not stop most of us from eating two or three times that. One group of health advocates is suing Denny's restaurants for not telling customers how much salt is in their food when they order it. Reporter Corb O'Connor has our story.
We all know that it's tough to eat healthy at a fast food restaurant, but the Center for Science and the Public Interest says some meals are worse than others.
A Denny's double cheeseburger has three times the sodium of a McDonald's double cheeseburger.
Steve Gardner is the center's litigation director.
Everyone excoriates McDonald's for selling junk. Well, Denny's has kicked McDonald's silly when it comes to selling junk.
Gardner says many of Denny's entrees have double or triple the amount of sodium we should have in an entire day. Now, there's nothing illegal about selling salty food, but the center wants to make an example out of Denny's to force more restaurants to put salt content on the menu. Denny's declined our request for an interview, but their CEO, Nelson Marchioli, did talk to WIND Radio in Chicago 2 months ago, before the lawsuit. He points out that salt is a big part of what gives food its taste.
Trying to reduce our salt content, it's kind of tough to get something to taste good when you understand that, you know, our meats, bacon, and sausage, those are cured, and oh my, they're cured with salt.
Denny's calls the lawsuit frivolous. Regardless of the judge's final decision about salt, restaurants like Denny's may still have to reprint their menus with other nutrition info, like calories. New York City now requires all chain restaurants to post calories on the menu, and other cities are creating similar laws. So the restaurant industry and members of Congress from both parties are pushing for a national standard. It might seem strange that restaurants want more regulation, but they do have their reasons, says Ellen Codiff, editor-in-chief of Nation's Restaurant News.
Rather than have a patchwork of different laws all across the United States, the chain restaurant group wanted to make it universal because they have restaurants, many of them, in all 50 states, and they felt that it's better to get out in front of this.
The proposed law is now wrapped up in one Senate draft of the health care bill. If it passes, the requirement would force chains with 20 or more restaurants to put calorie counts next to each item on their menus. In Washington, I'm Corb O'Connor for Marketplace.
And finally, a British trade magazine reports the karaoke craze is finally beginning to wane. The pubs there are once again investing in pool tables and dartboards, even jukeboxes. Some pub owners say it's the boom in home computer games like GarageBand. It means you don't have to leave the house anymore to be terrible. One person who will not suffer from this trend is the Japanese musician who invented the karaoke machine. He never patented his invention, a decision that's said to have cost him more than $100 million. Sweet Caroline, that's a lot of money. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Have a good Monday.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.